the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III.
Because I love my wife, I hate everything that brings her sorrow or harm. Because I love my wife, I hate would-be rapists. I hate my thoughtlessness, my selfishness, my dagger-like words that wound her. Because I love my grandchildren, I hate drug dealers, I hate the porn industry, I hate the alcohol industry, I hate Hollywood, I hate false doctrine, I hate liberal preachers. Why do I hate all this? Just because I'm a mean guy? No. Because I'm a loving guy. Hating evil is not our motivation. That produces meanness, ugliness of spirit. Hating evil is our response to, our reaction toward loving God. Loving God produces a hatred, a loathing of evil.
In today's message, Dr. Jones warns the Christian of the danger of accepting the evil around us and dishonoring Christ. Dr. Jones takes his text from Psalm 97, verse 10. Here now is the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III, with today's message.
Would you open your Bibles, please, to Psalm 97? Will you listen soberly? Will you think deeply upon these brief words? The opening words of verse 10, Psalm 97. If you haven't paid much attention to them before, it may startle you that the Bible requires the following. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. There's a blow between the eyes. Ye that love the Lord, hate evil. Does that sound cruel from the mouth of God, the Holy Spirit? It certainly is troubling to this generation that has been brought to believe that all beliefs are equal, that there really is no evil, that people decide for themselves what is proper and not proper, and it's usually in the context of social norms rather than sins against God. And so when God thunders forth, as He does here, with a requirement for those who love God to hate evil, it can be unsettling and disconcerting to some people. If God requires that we hate evil, why don't we? Or did we ever? And if we did, when did we stop? And why did we stop? Have we accommodated evil in our entertainment habits or our friendships to the point that evil no longer seems evil? When I was a boy, in the early 1950s, when television came in vogue, we had a television. It was really novel, and our parents had a requirement that if a beer commercial came on, we had to turn down the sound and stand in front of the TV set, somebody did, and hide that from the viewer's eyes in the room. Or if there were one curse word in a program, we had to turn the whole program off. Couldn't watch anymore. Now I can imagine what's going through some of your minds. That is really weird. Well, you know, the truth is, if a beer commercial comes on television today, I don't go stand in front of it and turn down the sound. And sometimes if there's one curse word, I might keep it on, and if there's a second or third, then I turn it off. This program's going downhill. I don't need to watch this. But we begin to accommodate things that in the past seemed evil to us and wounded our souls and said, this is inappropriate for me as a Christian. But we've been inundated with evil today to the point that it just doesn't seem evil anymore. We're constantly redefining evil. We're constantly tolerating more evil. We're constantly tolerating what used to be evil, but evil has become so much more evil that what was evil and not tolerated in the past is now tolerated. I hope that's not too complicated. Let me put it this way. Marijuana use today is being smiled upon benignly because crack cocaine seems to have so much more of a profound, debilitating effect upon the body, mind, and soul of people, and produce so much more criminal behavior that, okay, marijuana that used to be the ultimate evil drug is no longer evil in some people's minds. Even considered medicinal. So my question, which is the title of this sermon, is where did the evil go? Where did the evil go? I think I can tell us where it went. I've prayed over this thing. I have asked myself this question, where did the evil go? And it occurred to me that it left with the loving. When loving God left, hating evil left. Look at this verse again. Ye that love the Lord hate evil. If you don't love the Lord, you won't hate evil. If you love the Lord, it is required of us to hate evil. Strong love produces a hatred, a despising, a strong loathing for everything that is the antithesis of what I love. Did you get that? We don't hate evil because we just decide, man, I hate evil. I really hate evil. No. We love sin. We love evil. And there's only one thing that will keep us from loving evil. It is the love of God that causes us to despise everything that is the antithesis of God and His purposes and His revealed will through His Word. Hating evil is not our motivation. That produces meanness, ugliness of spirit. Hating evil is our response to, our reaction toward loving God. Hating evil flows out of loving God. It is a natural reflexive response to loving God. So if you find yourself, or if I find myself here today, tolerating evil, not considering sin so sinful, it is a clear revelation that something has already happened in me that is really bad. I've stopped loving God. Or I never had any love for God. You just can't get away from this, my friends. Loving God produces a hatred, a loathing of evil. And if you're smiling on sin, and if you think preachers are really warped who preach so much about sin, it's just an indication the love of God is not in your heart. Because I love my wife, I hate everything that brings her sorrow or harm. Because I love my wife, I hate would-be rapists. I hate my thoughtlessness, my selfishness, my dagger-like words that wound her. Why? Because I love her. Because I love my grandchildren, I hate drug dealers, I hate the porn industry, I hate the alcohol industry, I hate Hollywood. Because all of these things are designed to destroy the mind and heart and soul of this generation. How can I love them and not hate that which is destructive toward them? Because I love my children, I hate inflation, I hate materialism, I hate reckless drivers. All of those are threats to my children. Because I love my country, I hate flag burners. Because I love the church, I hate the devil. I hate false doctrine. I hate liberal preachers. Why do I hate all this? Just because I'm a mean guy? No. Because I'm a loving guy. And if you and I love God, hating evil is just normal. It's just a product of it. When we stop loving, we stop hating. If your conscience is not an offended conscience these days towards sin, even though you may not indulge in some of the more offensive sins of the day, you don't particularly mind the fact that they're there and destructive toward others. It's just the sign you've quit loving God or you never loved Him in the first place. The absence of the hatred of what Christ hates is evidence of the absence of love for Christ in my heart. Someone said it very well, that hating evil is an essential and glorious feature of God's character. Let me say that again. It's a great quote. Hating evil is an essential and glorious feature of God's character. So what does God hate? Brings us to the second point. Oh, I could go on for several sermons about this. Let me just give you two or three right off the top here. God hates concealed evil desires toward our neighbor and vows that we don't keep. Listen to Zechariah 8:17. Let none of you imagine evil in your hearts against his neighbor and love no false oath. That is, no broken promise. Words we speak but don't mean. We sing songs. Oh, how I love Jesus. Is that a false oath? Or is it real? God says, don't imagine evil against your neighbor and don't love false oaths. For all these things do I hate, saith the Lord. God hates broken marriage vows. God hates people who won't pay their bills. They make a promise to the bank, to some creditor, I'll make these payments on a monthly basis, etc., etc., and we don't keep them. God says, I hate that. God hates divorce, Malachi 2:16. Proverbs chapter 6, turn there real quickly. There's a whole list of things. Seven, actually, that God hates. Proverbs 6:16, these six things doth the Lord hate, yea, seven are an abomination to Him. A proud look, a lying tongue. A lying tongue, did you hear that? That is an endemic sin in the lives of many of you sitting here. I hate hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked imagination, feet that are swift running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies. We just talked about that from Zechariah. Broken promises. False professions. And he that sows discord among the brethren. Troublemakers in the church. Gossips. Divisive people. God says, I hate all of these things. What are we to hate? What does God require us to hate? Psalm 119, 104. He requires us to hate every false way, every false path. Through thy precepts I get understanding. Therefore I hate every false way. What does that mean? Every false path, every unbiblical idea. Unbiblical teaching, unbiblical philosophy. I.e. homosexuality is not a sin, but just something people can't help. Sickness or whatever. Killing babies is okay if it makes the mother enjoy her life more. The same thing is said in verse 128 of Psalm 119. I esteem all thy precepts concerning all things to be right. Therefore I hate every false way. How can we not hate Catholic doctrine? How can we not hate the doctrine of Mormonism? How can we not hate the doctrine of Islam? Every false way. Why did the psalmist say he hated that? Because he loves and has esteemed to be right all things that God has said. Why do I hate evil? Because I love God. Why do I hate every false way? Because I love what God has said. I can't love what is contrary to it if I love what He has said. What else are we to hate? People with divided loyalties toward the Bible. Psalm 119, 113. I hate vain thoughts. The word there is people who say one thing and mean another. But thy law do I love. You see how the love and the hatred are always connected in the Bible? The love of God produces hatred toward everything that is contrary to God. We are to hate those who hate the Lord. Psalm 139, 21. Do not I hate them, O Lord, that hate Thee? Am I not grieved with those that rise up against Thee? Look how the psalmist ties this together, the hatred and the grieving. It's tied together also in the words of our Lord. And this is very important, lest we should have a wrong idea of what we're talking about when we talk about hatred in the Bible context. In Mark 3:5, the Lord looked upon the Pharisees who were critical of Him for healing a man with a withered hand on the Sabbath day. And here's the Lord's reaction to those Pharisees. When He looked round about on them with anger, being grieved for the hardness of their heart. So when we talk about hating what God hates and hating those that God hates, we don't have any malice toward them or any ill will toward them. Our hearts are grieved and broken for them, but we hate what they do against our God. Now, if you can't feel that way about false doctrine, if you can't feel that way about those elements of society that are perverting the Word of God, standing it on its head, making good evil and evil good, if you can't despise that, you just don't have much love for God in your heart. We're to hate evil. Proverbs 8:13, the fear of the Lord is to hate evil. Evil words, evil thoughts, evil company, evil worship, evil doctrine. The list is endless. Amos 5:15 says, hate the evil and love the good. Love the good, you can't help but hate the evil. What is wrong with the church today, by and large? Why are we so tolerant? Why is the church embrace of the culture so wide? It is because our embrace of Christ is so narrow. I look out in your faces this morning and I see a congregation before me that consists of those who tolerate evil, those who make allowances for it in themselves, but they have not yet made a conscious decision to pursue evil all the days of their life. Still in a Christian university, still in a Bible-believing church, still kind of walking a dual pathway. Having no conclusions in your heart yet about right and wrong, about God's way or the evil way. Ambivalent toward it all. Insensitive toward evil. Insensitive toward God. But there are times when there's a little bit of sensitivity toward God and also a little bit of sensitivity toward evil. There's a lot of you that are being described in this definition. But there are some here who are determinedly pursuing evil. You're like the people described in Psalm 36, verses 1 through 4. The transgression of the wicked saith within my heart. The wording here is a little bit awkward in the English, but what the psalmist is saying, in my judgment, speaking of the wicked man, there is no fear of God before his eyes. He flattereth himself in his own eyes. He does not see or hate his own guilt. The words of his mouth are iniquity and deceit. He's put off to be wise and to do good. He's just decided, evil is for me. I could care less about God and His Word. And I sit in an institution like this. I sit in a Bible-believing church, but my heart is not here. It's in paths of evil. That's my life. That's what I want. Whenever I can do that and get away with it, that's what I do. He devises mischief upon his bed. He lies there at night and thinks, how can I get away with some sin tomorrow? And nobody will know. He sets himself in a way that is not good. He abhorreth not evil. No objection to evil. Actually loves evil. Cares not whether something is right or wrong. Is committed to doing whatever he wants to do, regardless of the Bible. This is the real you, if you are such a person. Sitting here is the false you. Being in a Christian institution or a Bible-believing church is the phony you. The real you is the person who is determinedly pursuing evil. It's what you think about. It's what you're trying to get away with all the time. And there's a third group here. And I hope and want to believe it's the vast majority of you. Those who have God before your eyes and hate evil. Would you turn in closing to Psalm 38? You're described here in this psalm. Actually, in the first 11 verses, but I'm only going to read the first 4 verses. Those of you that are in the third category, this is how you feel. You feel like David felt about evil. O Lord, rebuke me not in thy wrath, neither chasten me in thy hot displeasure. For thine arrows stick fast in me, and thy hand presseth me sore. He's sensitive to the will of God. He's sensitive to the voice of the Holy Spirit. He understands when God is speaking to him and revealing sin in his life. And he's very uncomfortable toward it. Look at verse 3. There is no soundness in my flesh because of thine anger, neither is there any rest in my bones because of my sin. For my iniquities are gone over my head as a heavy burden. They're too heavy for me. He said, Lord, I hate sin. I hate the offense it is to you. And when I sin, Lord, and you rebuke me, I feel it keenly in my soul. It grieves me that I have grieved you. Is that how you feel about evil? Your own evil? Everywhere the verb to hate is in the Bible, it carries with it not just the idea of disliking or loathing, but it carries with it the idea of rejecting. You that love God, the psalmist said in our text, hate evil, that means don't just loathe it, reject it. Say, it'll have no part in me. You know, it's impossible for men to love God without turning away from and rejecting whatever draws us from God. To hate evil is to say, I won't let it stick to me. I'm not just going to loathe it, but I'm going to turn away from it. That's part of repentance. And until you come to the place, the only thing in the world that can keep us hating evil is a growing love of God. The pursuit of God. It's what the Christian life is all about from Calvary onward. Is that your pursuit? Is it your love to love God more today than you loved Him yesterday? If it's not, you and I will end up loving evil today, or at least not hating it. To the degree we don't hate it, we're going to one day embrace it. The only way not to embrace it is to hate it. And the only way to hate it is to love God. I hope this truth can grab you. I hope it can grab me. Because I struggle with the same sins you struggle with. And I can guarantee you every time in my life when the love of God has grown cold, the less evil has seemed evil to me. And I know it's the same with you. Let's pray. Our Father, grab us with this truth. Let it make a difference in the rest of our life. In Jesus' name, amen.
I'm pressing on the upward way. New heights I'm gaining every day. Still praying as I'm onward bound. Lord, plant my feet on higher ground. My heart has no desire to stay where doubts arise and fears dismay. Though some may dwell where these abound, my prayer, my aim is higher ground. I want to live above the world, though Satan's darts at me are hurled. For faith has taught the joyful sound, the song of saints on higher ground, on higher ground. I want to scale the utmost utmost height and cast beyond far beyond. But still I'll pray till heaven I found.
Lord, lead me on to higher ground.
Lord, lift me up.
May God help us to pursue God with all our heart and to hate every evil way. Today's message was preached by the Chancellor of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Jones III. Are you interested in getting college training, but you can't afford to be away from home? Now, Bob Jones University offers a variety of courses in many different fields through the Office of Extended Education. Whether you're finishing a degree you started years ago, need extra electives, or just looking for a personal enrichment class, the Extended Education Correspondence courses are an affordable way to meet your college requirements without jeopardizing academic credibility. Most courses include video or audio tape classroom instruction, while selected graduate and undergraduate courses are offered over BJU's Live Interactive Satellite Network. To learn more, call and ask for your free copy of the BJU Extended Education Bulletin. Just call us toll-free at 866-BJU-RADIO. That's 866-BJU-RADIO. Or if you have questions, you can contact the Office of Extended Education directly at 1-888-BJ-EXTED. We invite you to join us again next week for a message by the Executive Vice President Emeritus of Bob Jones University, Dr. Bob Wood, on Chapel Echoes, an outreach ministry of Bob Jones University in Greenville, South Carolina.